お前はもう死んでいる。
Greetings, and welcome to a special episode of Pretentious Internet Theatre. I am your host, Andrew Cook. Tonight, albeit with fan fiction, we honor Toyo Ashida, director of such anime as Cyborg 009, more popularly Fist of the North Star, and personally one of the first anime movies I'd ever watched, Vampire Hunter D. In fact, I remember when I'd introduced a friend of mine, Mr. Richter, I'd introduced him to anime, and I'd chosen to have him have his first anime be Vampire Hunter D, and he was astounded by what he saw depicted in animation. And I was as well. In fact, it reminds me of a quote by Danny Kaye: "Life is a great big canvas, and you should throw all the paint on it you can." Oh, before we get started, I'd like to announce that I will be doing a convention, Anime Festival Orlando 12, going to be in Panel Room 3, which is Oleander B, Saturday morning at 11 o'clock. I shall go till noon, and we can read some fan fiction together. Originally, I wanted to try to read this piece at the convention, but I decided to do it now. So with no further ado, we bring you Talos Angel's Lucky Fist, Fist of the Unlucky Star. Enjoy. Pretentious Internet Theater proudly presents Lucky Fist, Fist of the Unlucky Star by Talos Angel. Author's Notes. I once again apologize for my previous fan fiction, Half-Life Adventures, The Combine Crisis. Oh, we'll get to that. As I was once, again, under the influence of too much drink. I suppose many of you are wondering who Gilfred is by now. His full name is Gilfred von Baggins, to put it simply. He is my imaginary boyfriend, except he is sexist, so we get into fights a lot, which made me need a drink, and you figure the rest out, I'm sure. Anyway, enough of my life, and on to the fan fiction you wanted to read. Lucky Fist, The Fist of the Unlucky Star. Chapter 1. Sad. Konata was a girl who was living in Japan in Tokyo. She was sad because she had Turner syndrome. She looked like a little girl, so no guys, except maybe pedophiles, liked her. And everyone called her a little girl, even though she was in high school. Because of this, she liked lots of anime and video games, because she felt they were the only things that understood her and appreciated for what she really is. Her friend, Kagami, was trying to help her, but Konata was too depressed. One day, Konata and Kagami were in class, and some guy said, "Want to go out with me?" to Konata. She couldn't believe it, so she asked, "Really?" "No, I am not pedophile. Ha 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 ha, lol," he yelled. Konata was even sadder, and yelled, "You don't understand me! Nobody does! Ah!" So Konata ran away back home, and Kagami yelled, "Wait!" But she didn't. Konata ran home, and she cried in her bed because she was still sad. "Why does everyone call me little girl is? It is because you look so young and cute, and all the girls would be jealous of you." "No, they won't, you f***wad!" Konata yelled at him and closed the door hard. Konata fell on the bed and cried again. She thought about her favorite anime, Fist of the North Star, and thought about how her favorite character, Kenshiro, would have stood up for her against the guy and punched his head off. She thought about life with Kenshiro. Chapter 2. A New Planet Land. Konata looked around and saw that everywhere was rocks and lava. "Where art I?" Konata asked, scared, but then a monster man that looked like a headcrab and forearm raptor with revolver gun jumping in front of her. "I will eat you," he yelled, and Konata screamed. Just as the monster was about to eat Konata, a man wearing a blue jacket and some pants, jump in front of the monster and pinch the monster and killed it. "No! I am dead now," the monster said, dead. Konata opened her eyes and saw blood everywhere, but she also saw the guy who helped her. It was Kenshiro from Fits of the North Star. "Whoa!" Konata shouted, surprised. "Thanks for saving me, Mr. Kenshiro." "No problemo," Kenshiro said calmly. "And how did you know my name?" Konata smiled. "You are the famous in Fist of the North Star anime." Kenshiro laughed. "You are funny, kid. Maybe we should go back to town, just so you can be safe and meet everybody." So they went. In the town, Kenshiro showed Konata his house, and it was like a house that was abandoned because North Star Land was in a state of apocalypse. "This is so cool," Konata squealed. "I never thought I'd be in the same house as Kenshiro." Kenshiro sighed. "You can stay in the guest place in the house and try not to make a mess." "Okay," Konata squealed excitedly. Just then, a phone call came from Kenshiro's phone. So he answered it, and the mayor said, "Kenshiro, please help the town. The South Star guys are attack the gate." Kenshiro nodded and said calmly, "I'll be there soon." He put the phone down fast. "Can I come? Konata Skid Hyper?" "No, is danger," Kenshiro sadly replied, then got on his motorcycle and ran away. Konata was sad because she wanted to go see Kenshiro fight the bad guys. Konata looked out the window and saw that Kenshiro had another motorcycle that was small enough for Konata. "Bitchin'," Konata cheered as she got in the motorcycle and skated off after Kenshiro. Chapter 3. The Southern Star Fight. At the south side of town, there were guts from South Star Land, laughing and throwing rocks at the rusty red gate into the town. Kenshiro rode up to them and said calmly, "Stop throwing rocks at the gate right now, this damned instant." The South Star guys laughed. "No, stop us first, you bitch." Kenshiro jumped and kicked about 10 of them down to dirt, then threw a metal barrel at 10 more, and it knocked them out. The only guy left was the boss, who had a red mohawk, a yellow jacket vest, and also blue pants and some sandals. He had a chain weapon, and he said, "You may be tough, but I am tough." Kenshiro smirked and whispered, "Try me, you little prick." They both jumped in the air and punched each other. Then Kenshiro did a roundhouse kick, but the bad guy blocked it and punched back. Kenshiro used his other feet to kick the bad guy's hand back, and he said, "Ouch." Konata was watching the whole thing from a safe place and thought it was really cool, just like an episode of Fist of the North Star, except it seemed so real. Kenshiro was leading a devastating attack against the bad guy, and the bad guy blocked and fought back with equal force. They seemed to be a match. Konata was watching, and she noticed another bad guy with a club sneering to get in behind Kenshiro. "Hey, that's chatting!" Konata yelled to the bad guy, and then Kenshiro saw him and threw him into the other bad guy that he was fighting. "Damn it! Our plan failed!" The bad guy screamed angrily. "Run away!" The bad guys all ran away, and then everyone in the town cheered really loud. "You did it!" Konata squealed at Kenshiro. "You are so awesome! I told you it was dangerous!" Kenshiro scolded, "but thanks for helping me. See that bad guy, though." Konata saw that Kenshiro was sad, so she asked, "What is wrong?" Kenshiro looked at Konata sad. "You remind me of my girlfriend from the past that a South Star Land bad guys killed in the past, and I liked her a lot, so I don't want you to get hurt." Konata was really flattered. As far as she could tell, only her parents and Kagami cared about her. But she felt some strange symphony coming from the man. Chapter 4. Revenge. The king of the bad guys was very angry at the two bad guys who didn't defect. "Kenshiro, you stupid poo-poo brains," he yelled with an angry on his face. "You are all stupid and whack." The bad guy king was a very big and muscled guy, and he also had a yellow hair that was very long, and he wore green cargo pants and had spikes on his torso. "War sorry, boss," The bad guys cried, "We'll get him next, Tim." "No!" the bad guy boss yelled as he killed the two other bad guys. "I will get him myself." The king of the bad guys stomped out of the dusty, rubble-filled room and gave his carry pigeon a message. Later, at Kenshiro House, he got a mail from the bird, so he read it at the candle fire. "It says the king of the bad guys wants to fight me one-on-one in the desert. I'll have to answer him." "What if it's a trick?" Konata asked, concerned. "Then you can come along and watch," Kenshiro replied, "but only from a asif distance." Kenshiro and Konata left out the door and got on Kenshiro's motorcycle and ran off to the desert. In the desert, the bad guy king had a bunch of his minions were there, waiting for Kenshiro. Kenshiro and Konata arrived, and they got off and walked to him. "I see you come to Mew," the bad guy laughed. "But who is this little grill?" Konata got mad and tried to punch the bad guy king, but Kenshiro stooped Konata. "She going to be the referee," he explained. "She will make sure that we don't cheat." "Okay," the bad guy king said, as he signaled his soldiers to not fight. "We will a fight then." The bad guy king and Kenshiro began fighting at that moment. Chapter 5. The Kenshiro versus Bad Guy King Fight. Kenshiro launched a hard punch and knocked the bad guy king in the stomach, and he was hurt. "Hee hee hee, you are better than I thought," the bad guy king chuckled, "but I will fight with a stronger strong." The bad guy kicked back, and Kenshiro flew back and landed. "You're tough too," Kenshiro admitted, "but I won't give up." Kenshiro grabbed the bad guy and threw him into a bunch of his minions and knocked them down like a bowling ball knocks down pins. The bad guy king got up angry and yelled, "Now I'm piss!" He charged Kenshiro, but Kenshiro jumped up and didn't get hit. He came back down and kicked the bad guy king again. This time, the bad guy king countered with a counter, and Kenshiro was knocked back too. Konata watched as the fight between Kenshiro and the bad guy king raged on, and seemed to be going nowhere because they were equally strong. The bad guy king was Get the Impatient, so he yelled to his bowman to shoot a bow with his arrow at Kenshiro. "No, you are cheater!" Konata yelled as she positioned herself between bow and Kenshiro, and the bow hit Konata instead of Kenshiro. "No!" Kenshiro yelled as he rushed to Konata to see if she was okay. "I'll be fine," Konata coughed, but that didn't convince Kenshiro. "You need to get to the hospital right now," Kenshiro yelled, but then the bad guy king kicked Kenshiro down and said, "Ha ha ha, refer Kinney help you because she id little girl." Konata got up angry and jump punched the bad guy king away and into some rocks that broke and fell on top of him. "If we want to win," Kenshiro muttered, "we'll have to both fight him together." Konata and Kenshiro both rushed and punched the bad guy king a lot and said, The bad guy king got up and was very angry, but Kenshiro and Konata pointed at the bad guy king and said, "You are already dead." The bad guy king then exploded in a blood explosion. Chapter 6, Epilogue. Kenshiro and Konata went to the hospital, and Konata lied down in the bed. "Sorry I worried you, Mr. Kenshiro," Konata apologized sad. "I didn't mean to make you sad." "That's okay," Kenshiro told Konata. "You saved me and the town." "No, I didn't," Konata blushed. "You did. You are cool." They both nodded to each other and said, "We did it." Kenshiro looked sad at Konata. "I wish you could stay, but..." Konata woke up as Kagami shook her foot and said, "Wake up. You are a dream." Konata realized it was a dream. Wow, I had cool dreams. Konata and Kagami walked back to school because Konata was feeling better, and they found the bully that hurt her. What do you want now, you stupid kid? He asked, and the bullies laughed. Konata then kicked the bully in his sensitive parts, and he fell down and cried, and all the other bullies were scared of her. Ha ha! Konata laughed cheerfully. The end. P.S. I've decided to publish the sequel to Touhou, Mountain of Promise, as my 20th fanfiction special. So that's going to be a while from now, but it'll make it extra special. Hope you are excited. P.S.S. Gilfried von Baggins is not real. He is imaginary. So keep that in mind if you see him, so you cannot listen to him. Well, if that story has taught me anything, that is if life hands you lemons, you kick it in the throat. And now, on with our next story. Pretentious Internet Theater proudly presents Vampire Hunter D by Lucinda. Disclaimer. I don't own anything from Buffy the Vampire Slayer. Joss Whedon and his writers do. While I'm not sure who owns the legal rights to Vampire Hunter D, I know that it isn't me. I'm pretty sure it's Urban Vision. That's not what she said. That's me using Google. Author's notes. Yet another look at how the S2 Halloween special could have gone with a different costume. D strode down the street, sword held in one hand. How could a single town have so many mutants and vampires and so few protections against them? There were plenty of churches, but none of the houses had crosses on the rooftops or fences. The whole town was steeped in an evil so thick it made his teeth ache. For that matter, seemed odd how tall everything was here. Not just the mutants and the vampires, but the humans as well. Instead of towering over most of the creatures, about a third were the same height, and a fair number even taller. No doubt it was an effect of the evil twisting and enlarging everything. I don't like this, Dee. A familiar whine came from the hand that wasn't clenched around the sword. The hunter permitted the ghost of a smile at those words. Creature never liked the dangerous situations that were so common in his occupation. A single stroke of the sword dispatched a vampire in ragged clothing, with hair that flopped with golden eyes. Sneered at the dust that landed with the road, the hunted murmured, "Such vermin." Dee froze at the sound of his words. His voice didn't. Shouldn't sound like that. That sounded like the voice of a child. Was that you, Dee? Or have you started to have children insult your foes to save you the bother of words? A voice from his hand attempted to conceal worry under marking. I am capable of insulting my own foes. The hunter could feel fangs as he snapped at his hand. His voice still wasn't right. Still sounded like a child. The rising panic at the glowing sense of his body was not as it had been diverted, though something large and hairy growling and charging at him. Dee focused at the werewolf, seeking to cut it down before it could devour any of the stupid humans that filled this miserable town. Come to think of it, he couldn't remember what this town was when he arrived or where he'd stabled his horse. Think of that later. It was time to kill the attacking monsters. So very many monsters. The hunter walked along the street, trying to hide the pain in his left leg from the claws of something covered with orange scales. The leaves were turning colors, and many of the porches had gourds on them, hollowed out and carved with faces. The gourds had seemed all roundish and orange, nagging at him. They reminded him of something, old memories, forgotten, then remembered. Dee pushed away the nostalgia and the ghosts of memory. The time would be better spent attempting to unravel the strange situation. Letting out a sigh, he decided to gather the facts. Either the majority of the people of this town avenged a foot and a half taller than himself, or he had somehow been reduced in size. The city appeared to lack a protective wall. There were no signs of horses, no air cars, only ground cars. He'd seen very few people armed with any sort of energy weapon, and his body didn't feel right. Most worried by the idea his body had been changed. The hunter did a quick self-inspection. His armor was intact, his mesh not twisted or gaping anywhere. His sword was dulled with the blood of all the monsters he'd fought, grimed with the dust of the wretched vampire he'd slain. He'd lost his knife in the boot, a gray lamprey thing, though it halved again to his size. Long brown hair that was still the same color as his accursed father's, and fangs as his body reacted to the threat of the evil around him.
And a wave of disorientation struck him, and Dee clawed at consciousness as the world seemed to twist around him. The cloak swirled as the dark-haired hunter collapsed to the ground. When the figure pulled itself to its knees, the small whimper that emerged was nothing like the musing of the hunter. Nervous eyes darted around before a shaking hand reached out to grab the hilt of the sword. The brim of the hat drooped, and the boots seemed a bit stiff. Slowly, the figure limped to a clothes store, peering at the reflection. A bruise around one eye, and the fangs was rather pronounced. Gasping, the figure lurched away from the window, sword raising in a defensive gesture that had become ingrained habit to the hunter. The other hand raised as well, palm towards the window. "Dee, what's going on?" the face in the left hand demanded. Dawn Summers could only stand there, her breath coming in rapid gasps. It was only supposed to have been a Halloween costume. She'd had a hard time talking Mom into it. Still wasn't sure that her Mom had bought that it was animated. So it couldn't be that bad. The fake fangs were glued in earlier that night. Hadn't been that long. The face had only been drawn in by eyeliner pencil. And she certainly hadn't been able to talk. "Oh my God!" The girl tried not to whisper at the memories the last few hours crashed back into her. It wasn't supposed to be real. It was just supposed to be a costume. "Why, Dee, this is a definite change." The hand grinned at her. "I think I like the new you." "Oh my God," the girl whispered, before straightening. Yes, it was only supposed to have been a costume. None of that was supposed to have happened, but it had happened, somehow. And she'd remembered being the hunter, and vampire hunters do not cower in front of the darkened window like a frightened child. It didn't matter that instead of Hunter D, she was Dawn Summers. Quite a bit of D remained, and she would make use of those remnants. No more cowering, and Hank Summers, absentee father off with a secretary, was certainly an improvement over D's father. Did explain why she felt so short earlier. Her mind had been almost totally submerged between the hunters, but her body hadn't changed that much. "The town's still evil," her hand grumbled. "I know, but nothing here will suspect us of anything." The smile was still a tiny curve of the hunter's lips, showing the barest trace of fangs as they gently receded. "We can start thinning their numbers, but only grown easier as I grow. Finally found the advantage to only being 12. Her hand laughed as Dawn made her way home. Of course, she had to hide all of this. Mom would never let her hunt for these monsters. Probably wouldn't even believe her about them. As for Buffy, no. Buffy was still pining for the way things had been in L.A., where Buffy was the pretty popular cheerleader. Her sister wouldn't want to hear about monsters. At least, nobody would suspect her of anything than becoming a moody teenager. N. Vampire Hunter D. Well, certainly the twistiest of endings, or more so, the twistiest of stories. If you have a rather twisted story you'd like to hear featured on this program, be sure to email us at thepitpodcast@gmail.com. Remember that at AFO 12, I will be hosting a panel at 11 o'clock a.m. Saturday, August 6th, in Orlando, Florida. Be sure to be a fan of this program on Facebook and subscribe on iTunes. Until next time, and with our regular format, this is Andrew Cook, reminding you that there is much drama on the internet, but only the best makes pretentious internet theater. Good night. Pleasure. It's all yours.